Good morning. So good to have all of you here this morning. It's a great day to be in the Lord's house. I was kidding a few of them that it's got so chilly that when I came by the roadhouse, they were putting snow plows on the vehicles. I was just teasing. But we're so glad you're here. We've got some visitors. We want you to know that you're welcome. We pray that you're blessed as we worship the Lord together. We welcome those who might be in the parking lot listening, and also those who later will be listening on the webcast. So many ways that you can hear the Word of God. And I just like to see you smiling faces. Amen. It's so much better than those COVID days when there's like five of us here in the building on Saturday afternoon trying to do a service that we could put on the website. And praise the Lord, we can get back together and worship, and Amen. That you're a part of it. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for this time that we can come and worship you, bow before you as King of Glory. Oh, Father, thank you. And Father, we thank you that in the wisdom of your creation, you looked down at a man who was lonely and you said, it's not good for man to be alone. And you created that helpmeet, that partner, that wife, who became the first mother. Lord, that was all in your wisdom. And Father, we thank you for the love that we've experienced through our families all through these years. Father, now as we spend this time in worship, in honor, we just want you to know that we love you. Our love is because you first loved us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Good morning. Thank you, Pastor Ed. It's good to see you all this morning. Happy Mother's Day to all the mothers this morning. And it's good to see you all in the smiling faces. Pastor's right. We love to see the smiling faces, and we have been seeing them. And so as we normally do, we have hymn singing at this particular time of the morning, and we're going to do that. And we're also going to follow tradition. We're going to sing Faith of Our Mothers this morning, a song that's not in your hymnal. I don't know why, but it's not. But we took care of it, but we've got copies if you need it, but I think it's all on the board. So let's all stand and sing Faith of Our Mothers, all four verses this morning. Can you read it? Everybody read it all right. If you can't, then I'll pass something out to you. Anybody need? You can't read it? Okay. All right. I've got copies if you need them. All right. Here we go. Faith of Our Mothers. man or say, welcome someone this morning. Okay, I have just a few announcements for you this morning. Again, we want to remind everyone of Wednesday night prayer service. Be here, be with us. Bible study and prayer services every Wednesday night at 6:30. Be here if you can, please. We'll continue on with our schedule like we have it from 9 o'clock on Sunday school and 10 o'clock worship. And we'll continue that until we feel that time's changed. So we'll hang in there. I guess you're okay with it. You're here. And so everybody seems to be okay with what we're doing. Again, thanks for the final totals for the Annie Armstrong. The Annie Armstrong, $2,495. We thank you for that. That's a nice love gift. Also, we did $705 for the Children's Home Food Drive, Spring Food Drive in Thomasville. Thank you for that. Vacation Bible School. It's in the bulletin. Vacation Bible School will be June the 27th through July the 1st. Plan to attend, and we need your help all possible. And again, Rita, I got to tell you, thank you for hitting this up this year. And I'm going to tell you, be here and do something for Bible school. It'll bless you. I promise you. Do that. Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. All right. And then we have communion will be May the 29th. Are there other announcements that I may have overlooked? All right. Let's go now to our prayer requests. I have quite a few prayer requests that's already been given to me this morning. Let's remember Joyce Little, the mayor of Oakboro. She's ailing, and we need to keep Joyce in our prayers. Janie Hopkins has been asked for us to remember her with cancer. Ann's neighbor, Bill Surratt, and I hope I got that name right, Betty, excuse me. Did I get it right? Billy Surratt. Okay, Billy Surratt. And then Mark Schaefer, COVID, he's getting better, but still a long ways to go for he'll be fully recovered. And then let's remember Jeff's family traveling Mercy this morning. And then Jeff's mom is in sterile therapy. How's she doing, Jeff?
She's doing fine. I'm not sure about the therapy, folks.
Well, that's okay then, right? And then let's remember Judge Morgan. Judge Morgan, who is our neighbor across the hill here, has had a heart valve replacement. So let's remember him. All right, anyone else? Yes, son.
My Peggy's first cousin, Tommy passed.
Tom.
He had a heart attack this Friday, and he has now been brain dead.
So, oh, my. Tommy Meggs?
This is shocking to the man. It's the place where Tommy Meggs is quite missing. Very well, he's now ready for 4 months.
Okay.
Very, very shocking.
Okay. Understand. Are there others? Yes, Chris. Okay, Chris.
Remember Betty and Roger Morton? His aunt is their dad, Jewel.
Mm-hmm.
They are now in hospice, taking care of her at their home.
Right, okay.
I believe they are in our church, saying some people there.
Yes, good. Anyone else? All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this opportunity to be in your house today and to be able to worship your holy name. Thank you for this special day that we honor our mothers. And Lord, I do thank you for praying mothers. I hate to think where I would be today without that. I remember many, many times hearing her pray. And Lord, I thank you for the memories that we have, as all of us have, that have lost their mothers. But then, Lord, there are those, the mothers that are here today, Lord, we're so thankful for them. We're so thankful that they're carrying on. And we ask that you would bless them. And Lord, yes, we ask that you would give them courage and give them patience when they need it the most. And now, Lord, as we go forward today, and we remember those among us today that need help. We thank you, Lord, for the blessings we give us. But now, Lord, we need to ask you for some things. And, Lord, we ask the following people that you would touch their bodies. We pray for Joyce Little. We pray for Janie Hopkins with cancer. And then there's Betty's neighbor. We pray for Billy Surratt. Pray for Mark Schaefer, who is getting better from COVID, but Lord, he's has a long way. Lord, we pray that you would touch his body with healing. We pray for Jeff's family as they're traveling today. Also Jeff's mom with therapy. The Judge Morgan family and the judges, he has had heart valve surgery. We pray for him. And then, Lord, has been mentioned this morning, Tommy Meggs, who has had a serious heart attack. Lord, we ask for healing for his body. We pray for the family who will be caregiving him at this, to him at this time. And then we pray for Chris as his unspoken request. Lord, you know his need. And Lord, we pray, Lord, that you will touch that need. And then, Lord, for our custodians here at the church and Betty and Roger Morton, who are caring for a very ill patient, we pray, Lord, for them to give them courage and give them strength, and your will be done in that condition. Now, Lord, as we go forward in this service today, we would lift up your messenger, we lift up your pastor, our pastor, to you, Pastor Ed. We pray for him. We pray for Pam as she comes and directs in the praise service today. And now, Lord, we'll be very, very careful to give you all the honor and all the glory and all the praise. For it's in your dear name we do pray. Amen. We're going to ask Pam to come now, and Pam's a member of our praise team, and Pam's going to conduct us in a song of praise this morning. And so, Miss Pam, you come and you lead out here.
I've got a verse I want to share with you. 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. And now I want to read it to you in the Amplified Version, which goes back to the original Greek and includes some more meanings in the verse. Do you not know that your body is the temple, the very sanctuary of the Holy Spirit, who lives within you, whom you have received as a gift from God? You are not your own, for you were bought with a price, purchased with a preciousness and paid for, made his own. So then, honor God and bring glory to him in your body. I think one of the greatest privileges in the world is what Christians have, that we can have the the Spirit of God Almighty living in us. It's amazing. It is amazing to think about what an honor he has bestowed on us. I mean, who among us was worthy? None. None were worthy. But he loved us so much that he wanted his presence to live within us. So I think it is the greatest thing that we can do is to spend time with the Lord, worshiping him, drawing near to him. I've heard people saying that they believe that the future is going to, in the natural world, it's going to look bleaker and darker, and that in the future, Christians may be persecuted for our faith. So it is vitally important that we develop a strong relationship with the Lord, spend time in his word, spend time worshiping, spend time praying. And it takes humility to worship the Lord. You have to bow yourself down in the spirit, if not in the body. We need to humble ourselves and worship so that his name will be glorified through our life, through our life. So now let's join together in singing Sanctuary, because we are that sanctuary. Would you stand? Thank you.
Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true.
To do now, while the children are still here, we want to recognize the mothers, and I want the kids to come down when the mothers get here, and we got some flowers we're going to give, and we got another gift that been donated, and I can't tell you because they've asked not to tell you where it came from because they want their blessing to be saved that way. But this cross is here that's been, what do you call this?
Crochet.
And all the ladies are going to get one of these today, along with the flower. So, Mr. Jeff, if you'll come, all the ladies of the church, if you would come down front, please, all of you, not just the mothers, but all. We need all of you down. All ladies. Yeah.
Line up across the front.
Line up across the front. Here, Jeff. Here, Gary. Now, folks, if your mother's here, please come down front and give them a big old hug. Kids, come on down and say hey to Mom. All right. Let's give them a big hand. We don't have many left out there. Stand up. Come here. All right, children, Children, you are now dismissed. You can go to your class.
I'm one of those kids that had a drug problem growing up. My mama drugged me to church at West Albemarle Baptist Church every time the doors were open. And sometimes I don't think the doors were even up. It didn't matter. We lived close enough. It didn't matter if it snowed. We walked. And I praise the Lord. I thank the Lord for a mom like that. Have you ever been to a place in your life where you felt like nothing was going right? That you had two strikes against you? That your situation was maybe hopeless? Have you ever wondered, did my prayers or will my prayers make any difference? Or am I just talking to the ceiling? Today, let's spend a few moments looking at a lady whose prayers changed the nation. Her prayers literally changed the nation. Turn with me to the book of Samuel, 1 Samuel, chapter 1. And it's Hannah's story. 1 Samuel, chapter 1. It talks about this guy. In verse 2, it says that he had two wives. The name of the one was Hannah. The name of the other was Peninnah. And Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. Now here we find that Hannah was childless. Now that's a pain to any woman that would like to bear children. If she has her heart on being a mom, not to be able to have children is a pain. And evidently a number of years have passed and she's not able to have a child. Now back in those days it was even a bigger deal than it is now. Because after all, the more kids you had, the more you had kids to help on the farm, to help in the, if they were some type of craftsman, like a potter, they could do more in the craft shop, more to help mom in the home with the baking and all of those kind of things. It was so important to have kids. They were needed to work. And so Hannah had no kids. Verse 6, and her adversary also provoked her sore for to make her fret because the Lord had shut up her womb. The other wife made life difficult. The other wife rubbed it in. Now, you remember being on the playground? Na, 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 na. I've got kids and you don't. Ha, ha, ha. Now, I don't know how the kids do it on the playground now, but 70 years ago, that's the way it would have been on the playground. I wonder if every time this other lady got pregnant, she just sort of pointed to her abdomen and made a snide face at Hannah. It says it made her fret. It made her, it just added to her pain. And in verse 7, the last part of verse 7, so she provoked her, therefore she wept and did not eat. Hannah was in tears because the other wife kept rubbing it in. She was in such a broken-hearted pain that she could not even eat. Took away her appetite. Now that's pain. That's pain. And not only that, when you get over to verse 9 of chapter 1, let's go to verse 10. And she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. And she vowed a vow and said unto, O Lord of hosts, if thou would indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me, and not forget thine handmaid, but wilt give unto thine handmaid a man child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. And it came to pass, as they continued praying before the Lord, that Eli marked her mouth. Now Hannah, she spoke in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she had been drunk. And Eli said to her, how long wilt thou be drunken? Put away thine wine from thee. I mean, you know, she's so brokenhearted, she's gone over to the tabernacle to worship and pray, and the priest accused her of being drunk. I mean, look at this lady. Think about it. She has no kids. The other wife is rubbing it in. She's crying. She can't. Her appetite's gone. She goes to pray, and the preacher says, you got to stop drinking, woman. Now, how much worse can it get? But she's pouring out her heart to God. You see, she knew where to take her troubles. It's so easy to get mad at people. If it weren't for you, I wouldn't be in this mess. If it weren't for you, and sometimes people get mad at God. God, why'd you let that happen? God, you could have stopped it. God, I'm angry with you. And sometimes we won't verbalize it because we're afraid to bring down the wrath of God on us, but in our heart we feel angry and upset with God. But instead of being angry with God and angry and upset, what does she do? She goes to the Lord in prayer. She says, Lord, I've got a problem. I need a child. Lord, if you will give me a son, I will give him back to you. And with no razor on his head, remember, that makes him a Nazarite. That makes him especially devoted, set apart, set aside for God. And she says, Lord, if you'll give me that child, I'll give him back to you. Now notice some things that happen. Look in verse 18. And she said, let thine handmaid find grace in thy sight. So the woman went her way, did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. Her prayer brought her peace. There's something special about going into the presence of God and laying our burdens at His feet that brings peace. The Bible says, cast all your care on Him, for He careth for you. And once she poured out her heart to God, since her appetite came back, and she was no more sad, she had peace. I'm so glad that Jesus is the Prince of Peace. You remember there in the upper room, and we spent weeks studying the things that Jesus told in the upper room in Sunday school? He says, "Peace I give unto you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Jesus gives us peace. Paul says, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God concerning you." Peace. In the midst of a storm. Now, at that point, nothing had changed. She still didn't have any kids. She still had this tormenting other wife. But she was overshadowed by the peace of God. That's one of the wonderful things about our loving Heavenly Father, is that in the middle of turmoil, trials, difficulties, we can walk in His peace. And there's something special about the peace of God. There's something special about the peace of God that's just precious. In verse 20, when it came to pass, when the time was come about after Hannah had conceived, she bare a son and called his name Samuel, saying, "Because I've asked him of the Lord." She recognized, here's an answer to prayer. God answered her prayer, and she says, "I'm giving him the special name because I asked, you gave, and here's the result." It's so great when we pray prayers that are specific enough that we know when the answer comes. You know, sometimes we pray prayers that are so general, "Lord, bless the nation." Well, how do you know if the Lord blessed the nation? But when we pray specific prayer and God answers, then we can say, "Yes, Lord, thank you, thank you, thank you." And not only that, when you come to the end of that chapter, it said when she had weaned him, she took him up with her with three bullocks and one ephah of flour, that's verse 24, bottle of wine, and brought him unto the house of the Lord in Shiloh, and the child was young. They slew a bullock, brought the child to Eli, and said, "O my Lord, as my soul liveth, my Lord, I am the woman that stood by thee here praying unto the Lord. For this child I prayed, the Lord hath given me my petition, which I ask of him. Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord as long as he liveth. He shall be lent to the Lord, and he worshiped the Lord there." She kept her promise. Sometimes it's so easy to say, "God, if you'll just do this, if you'll do that, I'll be faithful, I'll be faithful, I'll do this." And once God answers, we just go our merry way, as if nothing had changed. But the best thing is exactly what Hannah did. God answered, and she kept her promise. Now, I can't imagine how it was to take a young child. He says he was just a child, maybe 6, 8, something like that, and give him up. And yet, she had made a vow, and she kept her vow. Now, as you read on in the scripture, you find out that the Lord blessed her with other children. And that's a blessing. That's a blessing. You see, her prayer brought an answer and brought her closer to the Lord. Well, how did it change the nation? How did God's answer change the nation? Look at 1 Samuel 3. And And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. Eli was the head priest, the chief priest. And the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. Precious means, in that context, means rare. In other words, God wasn't talking to the people. God wasn't saying much. Well, why? Why wasn't God saying much? If you know the story of Eli and his wicked sons, who were supposed to be priests also, you can realize that one of the reasons God wasn't talking was because of sin. Another reason was that people weren't listening. It says the word of God was rare, was precious. It was just not happening often because people weren't equipped to hear. And I think so often of the words that Jesus said throughout the Gospels, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Isn't it interesting that a pastor, not just me, but any pastor can preach the word of God. A number of people can hear it physically, but so few hear it spiritually. So few hear it spiritually. It just sort of goes in one ear and out the other, and that's the end of it. They don't really hear it. And the parable that Jesus told about the sower and the seed and the ground, and he says, you know, some of it went on hard-packed soil, and the birds took it away. And he says, he explains that by saying, the word of God was preached or taught, but it went into a hard heart, a closed mind, and had no effect. And the devil came and just took it away. The word of God was rare in those days. But then Samuel learns to hear from God. Look at verse 3. Ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was, and Samuel had laid down to sleep, then the Lord called to Samuel and answered, here am I. And he ran into Eli and said, here am I, for thou callest me. And he said, I call you not. Lie down again. And he went and lay down. Now Samuel, you know, is sort of a helper to Eli. And Eli was real old, if you remember the story. Maybe in his 80s. And Samuel hears, Samuel, Samuel. So he thinks Eli's called him. So he runs in there and says, what do you want? He said, well, I didn't call you. Now, if you don't remember the story, this happened three more times. And finally, verse 9, then Eli said unto Samuel, go, lie down, and it shall be, if he call thee, that thou shalt say, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And the Lord came and stood and called as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel answered, speak, for thy servant heareth. And the Lord said to Samuel, behold, I will do a thing in Israel, at which both the ears of everyone that heareth it shall tingle. You see, Samuel, being a child, had not learned to hear the voice of God. And three times he runs to Eli and says, you call me, Eli. Finally, it dawns on Eli, it's not me, it's God. And so Samuel learns to hear the voice of God. And the Lord gives him a message, and that's fulfilled. Now you think about some other times that Samuel heard the voice of God. The people were demanding a king. And the Lord says, go anoint Saul. And so Samuel does. Well, Saul, you know, messed up. And then the Lord says to Samuel, later, go anoint one of the sons of Jesse. And so Samuel goes to Jesse's and he says, you know, I'm here to anoint one of your sons. Bring them out. And I think there was about, what, 7 or 8 of them? And the first one comes out and he's a fine looking young man. Cream of the crop. And Samuel says, well, he gets out his anointing oil. And the Lord says, oh no, he's not the one. He says, I look in the heart, not on the countenance. Oh, well, they bring another one and another one and another one. They get through all the boys and God's, Samuel's still listening to God and he's not heard a thing. God just said, nope, 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 nope. Finally, Samuel said, this all the kids you got? Well, there's that runt, David. He's out there in the field somewhere with the sheep. Well, go get him. We're not going to do anything until we see if he's the one. And they go bring David in. I mean, you know, he wasn't even important enough to his daddy for his daddy to go get him on the first go around. But as soon as David comes in, God said, yep, that's the one. And Samuel heard God anointed David and it changed the course of the nation of Israel. It all goes back to Hannah's prayer. Lord, give me a son and I'll dedicate him to you. And that son learned to hear the voice of God. And that son changed the course of the nation in listening and hearing from God and anointing David as king. Now, are you and I open to hearing the voice of God? Are we really open to hearing the voice of God? Do you hear a voice from God on a regular basis? Now, I know that there are people that think you're a little wacko if you say, I hear from God, but you ought to be hearing from God. Do you ever hear from God? Do you hear from God and then obey? Do you hear from God and disobey? What about hearing from God? There are lots of times we need to be hearing from God. Do I graduate from high school or just drop out? You need to hear from God. Do I go to a community college or a 4-year school? You need to hear from God. What subjects should I take? Which school should I attend? You need to hear from God. When it comes time to get married, you better hear from God. I don't know whether this is funny right now or not, but back in the days before the roads were paved, I read about a sign, choose your next rut carefully, you'll be in it for the next 30 miles. You know, marriage is a long-term commitment. Now, I realize sometimes things happen and a person can't help it. But you don't stay married 50-some years without choosing carefully. Rearing our children, we need to hear from God because every child is different. Every child has their own personality. And how we treat this child versus how we treat this child can be different. Children aren't all cookie cutters, you know. Even if they're twins, they're different. Where you work, the company you work for, the type of work you do, you need to hear from God. The ministry you have in the kingdom of God, you need to hear from God. You think about the Apostle Paul. He heard from God and it stopped him on the road to Damascus and he became a believer. He heard from God in Acts 13 where the Lord said unto the church, send Paul and Barnabas out on a missionary journey. How many times did Paul hear from God about go over to this city, come over to Macedonia and help us. Don't go there. Go here. Paul's whole ministry was based on hearing from God. You say, well, I'm not a minister. I'm not a preacher. I'm not a missionary. You still need to hear from God. Am I a Sunday school teacher? Am I a Bible school worker? Am I a singer? Do I call my neighbor? Do I send a postcard or a card to my neighbor or a fellow church member? We need to hear from God. We need to hear from God in our practical everyday life. How many testimonies came out of 9/11 World Trade Center? Somehow or another, God told me not to go to work that day. We need to hear from God on a regular basis. I think a few of you went to school with Pamela's next younger brother, Ken or Kenny. When they were just little bitty kids, their dad worked in Wadesboro, and they rented a house. And way out, Pamela can make it clearer than I can, but the way I understand it, there was a garage apartment with an outside staircase and a landing, you know, that you went into it. Well, she says she was about 4. Kenny would have been about 2. And so she goes running up those steps. Well, little brother's got to follow. And about that time, her mom was in the house washing dishes. And she heard a voice from the Lord. You need to go outside now. And their mom ran outside the house and caught Kenny as he fell off. Now he might have died. He might have been badly hurt. But she heard from God. And it saved the kids from pain or death. There are people that I've read, you know, God says, don't fly on that particular flight. And it didn't make it. We need to learn to hear from God. I mean, it's such a blessing. When we learn, He loves you. He cares about you. I have a pastor friend that his testimony is that back, you know, 2005 or so, he had some extra money that he was going to invest. And he had a friend that was a great in the investment business. And they worked out a plan and a program to invest the pastor's money in these particular areas. But the pastor heard from God and he didn't do it. What happened in 2006, 2007? He said he would have lost at least half of his money if he'd followed the plan. But God saved his money. There's so many ways we need to hear from God. And it doesn't have to be a big thing. Sometimes it's just a sweet, sweet little whisper. I love you. You're my precious child. You're special to me. It all goes back to Hannah. She took her need to the Lord. She received the answer. She kept her promise. Her son learned to hear from God, and a nation was changed. I don't know what each one of you are going through right now, but the more you hear from God, really hear from God, the better your life is going to be. Now, God will never, 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 never tell you something that contradicts His word. He will never tell you anything that contradicts His word. Everything he tells you will line up some way with his word. You know, the Bible says don't steal. God's not going to tell you to go rob a bank. If you feel like that's the devil talking to you rather than God, God will never violate his word. But how much your life will be blessed as you learn to hear from God. I challenge you. God is a communicating God. Go back to the Garden of Eden. It says he came and he walked with Adam and Eve in the garden every day. Jesus went off and he says, he spent time with the Father and he came back and he says, I do what I see my Father doing. I say what I hear my Father say. You know, Jesus was constant communication with his Father. And so can you be. Your loving Heavenly Father wants to communicate with you in every possible way. If you're here this morning and you're not a believer, first thing he would say to you is you need to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. If you're here and you need to come back to the Lord, and he would say, I welcome you. I welcome you. There's other decisions you'd like to make. Would you make them? Would you stand and we'll have just a moment of music? And if you feel the need to respond, if you need to come to the altar, just talk to the Lord. Would you come? Father, we thank you so much that you don't leave us just to blindly walk through life, stumbling like a blind man in the dark. But you speak to us in so many, many precious ways. And Father, when you speak to us in your word, you speak to us sometimes through friends, through other messages. You speak to us deep down in our innermost being. And we thank you. We thank you. Thank you that we have the promise, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Father, give us ears to hear, hearts to understand, and a will to obey. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you, be gracious unto you, and give you his peace. In Jesus' name, amen.